I feel like a teabag, really.
I used to sing that, you know, the poetry, I am a teapot, fat and stout, this is my handle, this is my spout. That was my first standard poem. And I was supposed to win an award, and last minute I changed the poem I was going to sing, and I can't even remember what I sang. Just funny. But I just feel like this infusion right now of just being in this presence and being in just like that hot thing. And I'm kind of like, you know, trying to go with whichever way I feel like God is leading us. It just, yeah. Because I can stand and I can just close my eyes and I'll be gone. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed that song. I haven't recorded it. Yeah. I don't know what's the name of the song. Do you? What? Take Courage. Yeah. Because, you know, when I'm preaching, I like, you know, I do like music later on. And I'm like, you know, they're not going to sing that again. Like, you know, so I was like, okay, I'll record it just in case I need it. It's like, you have to be smart. You have all the technology in your hand. So, you know, just use it whenever you need it. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because it's like, okay, last week, right? So I did not know. So when I came out here, there was like, I don't know, court says I was angry. Did y'all feel I was angry? So I got to explain to you, because I do see a sequence of things, that the way things happen, because like normally like Kirk was supposed to preach, right? If yes, last week he missed, he was supposed to preach. And then like when Lena said, okay, just go ahead with your this thing, I was like, okay, so it's on. So there's a sequence of things that God unfolds, that why he wants us to step into those kind of things. And so since I already released that part of it, it just had this thing that I knew in my heart I needed to preach this week. And it was just, but I just like let things happen because God orchestrates it best. And yeah, so the one word that I got caught on was the awesome, right? And because we kind of have dolled out awesome and said, oh, this puppy is awesome, king is awesome, you know, those kind of things we basically put it. And if you go back to your Bibles and Psalms 18, I want you to read how God basically talks about himself when we pray and when God steps up for us and when he shows himself to be awesome. He basically says, it's like, man, I'm just going to rain down like fire and brimstone right now. Like, you know, there's going to be dark smoke going up in front of me. The clouds are going to turn like, you know, black. The waters are just going to go disappear really. And it's like, I'm just going to show up. I'm the God of awesome. And I felt that the intensity of heaven with regards to this word awesome, because we are expecting God to be awesome because we have categorized him according to what we think awesome means. That when somebody says, hey, you're awesome, yeah, we think, yeah, awesome is like, cool. You see? But God wants to show himself awesome, and I believe there's a time where a prophetic voice has to be raised. And I felt that intensity, and I stepped into it, because the Bible says, and this is something, like how Cammie prophesies, right? You prophesy according to your faith. You see? What are you prophesying? To yourself, to others, what are you prophesying? I felt this thing that there was a rush of heaven, and I just stepped in and I merged with it, and I said, okay, I'm going to prophesy with regards to that. I told John afterwards also, it's like that meeting I said, in the first 10 minutes, you're going to see 2,000 people healed, was amongst us. We were there. I seen it. And I was like, I'm just going to go with that. I'm just going to prophesy according to my faith. It was not like I'm soothsaying. It's not like I'm just making up stuff or something. I just connected to that, and I just felt that faith to just declare it. You see, and that's what sometimes we have stepped back from, and prophecy has become this little thing where we basically try to, sometimes even I call this word soothsay, and we try to placate people, and we try to tell people, it's like, oh, it will be all right, the word says this. And it's, you know, don't say it's a prophecy, you see. And I just believe this, that the intensity of heaven is just going to show up now, that even your words are going to carry that effect of heaven. Like, you know, it's going to be like in the Fiesta years when Steven Spielberg made a movie. It was like all loud and everything with it. Your life is going to become like that. It's not just going to be cookie cutter, black and white Charlie Chaplin movie. You see, we basically, and I call this word a systemic failure, is because the church has told us that we can only be black and white, and we can just walk straight and don't you sit down. I grew up Catholic, so I understand that. You know, kneel down, get up, stand up, you're done, go, you know. And the church, we have not challenged the system of the church. And why I'm telling you this is because you can think. See, we have raised the people who stop thinking. And what we have done is we have created a system where of followers and not of thinkers and philosophers and understanding reformation people who are basically can change the world and walk away with like, hey, I have an individuality which is mine. You see, I have a prophecy of mine that I have a destiny to follow, and I'm going to go chasing after that. I'm not just going to go and just sit in a corner because I'm upset. I'm not just going to go and just like, you know, hide away until somebody says, oh, come here, oh, your sweet little thing, you know. No, you have to, like, and this is where it is. It's like we have to, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but I feel this, an understanding that has to be given. And like, you know, you have to learn to step into it because I've been in this 20 odd years. End of this year will be 20 years since I got baptized. Yeah, and it's funny. And so in 20 years, there's one thing I've understood is, like, you know, let people think on their own. Don't become the Holy Spirit. You see, and what we sometimes try to do, when we try to become the Holy Spirit, we accompany it with shame, guilt, all the stuff that you dump on people, and which is not really what God wants. And so the ability to think is something which is God-given to you, because in your heart, there's a heartbeat of heaven. You know, however, whether you think it's dim, whether it's this thing, it's like you are the child of heaven. You carry the heartbeat of heaven. Constantly, it's like only you have to, like, sometimes, like, you know, when worship gets intense, we go like, we hear that heart. Otherwise, we're like, oh, let's play. Like, you know, and this is what we're basically coming to, is we have to constantly want ourselves to think. And the song that you're sang, right, I got stuck on He's in the Waiting. I enjoy that waiting part of it. I brought a whiteboard, and so I was like even going to draw something for you all and all. But the first verse, let me just give it to you, Galatians 6, 8 to 9. This was one of the verses that I kind of had on my heart for almost a month, and I have no idea because I kept seeing, I walked around different churches, different groups of people, and it always felt like the people are weary. The people are weary. There was just such a heaviness. There was such just a tiredness among the people. There was no joy. There was no exuberance. There was no, like, you know, hey, let's do this. Like, come on. Like, you know, like, if I had to throw a party, I was basically, there'll be that excitement. Okay, they'll be like, come on, come on, come on. Like, we can throw a party in 4 hours, right? We can do that, yes. You know, and it's just like, yeah, it's just like we'd have that joyful exuberance. And for some reason, it just felt because we've been doing things normal, right, as just we know to do it, we basically come down to this point where it's we have grown weary, you see? And we basically don't know why we've grown weary. And if you read this, Galatians 6, for one who sows to the flesh will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. What has happened, now this is where the demarcation has to be made. What are you sowing? Are you sowing in the flesh or are you sowing in the Spirit? If you're sowing in the flesh, you're basically going to get decay. You're going to get tired. You're going to get dead things. It's going to be ruin and destruction. So now this is where you have to, like the thinking church is supposed to understand this, is what are you really sowing? Be honest to yourself. You see, because we have come to a point where it's like, you know, I grew up where the pastors were like, hey, what books are you reading? Hey, what are you watching? Hey, what are you doing with your time? Are you speaking in tongues enough? You know, and it's that's how I grew up. Like, literally, I would get a call. See, if I was preaching tonight, like, I would get a call is like in the morning is like, how much did you pray? Like, literally, our worship team was not allowed to get on stage if they never really prayed an hour. Yeah, and we grew up in a religious setting, but God blessed that religious setting because it put a discipline in us. And we have basically come into this grace time where it's like, yeah, let me just get up and walk onto stage. Really? If that same awesome God I talked about basically shows up on stage, you think you're going to have a place on stage? Think like that now. And this is where we basically have sowed into the flesh, and we're expecting the reward of the Spirit. We're expecting spiritual things to happen. We're expecting revival to happen. It's like, yeah, throw these kind of seeds and you're expecting something different to pop up. Like, think of it, right, with regards to your time. How is your time spent? What are you really sowing into? If I'm only sowing into preaching a message, it's a waste. What if I don't spend the time about preaching a message and become the message? How is that the letter of the word becoming the letter within my heart? That's how we have to think. We have gone beyond this. It's like, you know, we are like, oh, preach me another message. Sing me another song. No, the violence shall take it by force. There's a violence, I believe, is going to come to the church, and you have the opportunity to accompany it, to join in it, and to let it carry you into the forceful nature of who God wants you to be and take you into where you have to be. Because a lot of people, you know, when they're tired, they basically disqualify themselves. I'll use the board now. Yeah. It's helpful to see, like, in picture form, like, what we think Christian life looks like. We think, so our journey, right? This is our journey from point A to point B, right? Yeah. And that's where we are going to go to heaven, right? Yeah, so we started over here when we got born again, and we're going to heaven. Everything beyond that, we basically said, is washed by the blood. Right? And then we come to this thing where there's this high. We come to the pinnacle of, like, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. And then suddenly we think our life falls and we have the first problem in life. And everything seems to be like, okay, rock bottom. And we basically, this is the structure we believe. And then we believe we go from here to this, here. And we basically just do this all our life. But this is the pattern which basically the world has taught us. This is the pattern where we basically believed and said is like, hey, no. We're like, you know, when you're in trouble, that means we're in the valley time. Oh, this looks like a cool valley, right? Yeah. From our mountains to valley. And valley time is where we are learning and where everything's happening. And then it says, like, you know, do you remember the Bonnie M song by the rivers of Babylon where we sat down? Oh, It's from the Bible, yeah, where we remember Zion. So basically, these people who came, and this was the little river, they just sat down over here, and their eyes were looking towards Zion. But they could see it in the distance. This is a sad song. Like, it's a really bad, this thing, but it became so popular in the 70s that, you know, it was like Bonnie M. Oh, yeah, brown girl in the ring, la, 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 la. Whatever. But that's how it was. Like, we look at our lives and we basically just go and we say, it's like, yeah, we are good now. Oh, sometimes I like when people are like, you know, wanting a miracle and all, and everything is like, okay, I'm going towards my miracle. Right? You see? And when you think back of, like, remember the Rick Joyner's book? When they were climbing up the mountain, you know what, when it got slippery, when it got everything, they like, difficult. They took the sword that they had and they dug it in the ground. And then they climbed two steps. Yeah. And then they went again and they try, you know, and that's what sometimes is like, you know, we feel our fight is to go up here, right? But when we come down, oh, woe me. Oh, all, it's just hell is against me. Now, there are different things. Hell is against me. God is not on my side and everything. But this is the same God who basically is taking you on a journey. And all in our minds we have to go is like saying, what are we really accomplishing? So if I had to change this, right? And I had to start here, right? And we went up. We had this. We came down. Okay, so that was our first high, our first experience with Jesus. And we tell people to come back to this point, right? We tell, hey, come back to your first love. Why? Is this first high really this high that we are telling them to come back to this first love? Think of it. Is there a way that you can love Jesus more? Then why would I have to come back to your first love? If it was not that high, Because all you knew about Jesus was just Jesus loved you, and you were blind, and you just said, love is blind, and I love Jesus, all this. You didn't know all the scriptures, period. Unless you grew up, like, you know, preaching, and you were preaching something else, and you just fell in love with Jesus. But this is the thing. And so we come back down, but we have not gone rock bottom. Because there's some infusion of God. There's some teaching of God that has slipped into our hearts, and which has given us this, and we became this positive. There's that positive influence of God which has happened in our lives. And then, so even if this is our rock bottom, we are here, and that is our valley, we go from here to the next high. And you do this multiple times, because every time God brings you to this high place, he says, I've brought you to a broad place. So it's not just a mountain high, it's a broad place, because you're going to walk in it. There's an authority that you can develop. You can camp over here. You can build a tent. But that is the level that you understand. And then you go from this to the next place where God, like your broad place, and he enlarges your territory. You see? And so what we have done as a church is sometimes we have told people we just have this ups and downs. And your life will never, you're not amounting to anything, because your plus and minus at the end of the day is zero. And you're like, oh, you're glad if you just made it to heaven. And that's what people come with, thinking that they've gone in. But you have forgotten all these pluses of God that has gone into your life, has brought you to this place, that you basically now have so much of God that you can distribute to people. You can give away. You have the authority. You have everything. And all we have to do is keep going. Keep going. You know, and keep going. And this is where our mind has to think like this, is that, hey, I'm ready to go to my next large place. What is your next large place? Because, again, if you start at this point, start sowing negative thoughts, all the self-doubt and all, yeah, you may not go down. You'll just slide back somewhere here. But you can't lose the influence of what God has put in your life. It's there. It's dormant. It's the key is there. But you're not using it. You see, and that's what our authority as Christians are, that we basically taught everybody, oh, roller coaster ride. Yeah, put your hands up. Oh, put your hands down. Hey. And we expect people to put their hands up in church, and okay, if you don't put your hands up, it's okay. As long as God is blowing you up and you're on your face, you're good. Like, you know, whatever it takes, I don't care. Like, you know, just think about it. But, like, so every day you're battling something, right? Every day you battle something in your year. And you're trying to go up. Yeah, you may come down. So, like, if I could do more fancy stuff, it would be like a week, right? So this is Monday. This is Tuesday. That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like that. But there's something. There's always movement. Right. Children of God never lack movement. Right. You won't lack movement until you're dead. True. Right? So that's it. You set in your mind that you're always going to be doing something. You're always going to be moving. You're always going to, but you can partner with heaven, or you can choose to partner with hell.
True.
That's it. There are only two options you have. Because the people who, before in our life, they don't know God.
Right.
So there is no these two choices for them. They're just partnering with hell.
Yeah.
Right? They're just doing everything on their own flesh and strength. So if you sow into the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. You're going to reap decay. You're going to reap ruin, destruction. And so that's why when the Bible says, it's like, oh, he looked at the other guy and his grass was green and, you know, all that. And we say, oh, but it just lasted a day or a few days and it withered away. There are people who are richer than us. And you look at it and you go, it's like, is that worth it? And when you look at Steve Jobs' last picture, what do you remember of Steve Jobs? Do you remember of all the enthusiasm that was every year whenever he said, oh, this is the new iPhone. Oh, this is the new this thing. No, you remember the last withering picture of Steve Jobs. That's all people now remember. I asked a few people, hey, how would you picture Steve Jobs? Like, what do you remember of his picture? And they said, like, the last one when he was dying. And it was a withering. It was a decay. That's a sad story. Because you could have any n number of potential. And I listen to Bill Gates and some of these guys because, you know, sometimes there's something that they're doing which they're trying to change the world. Bill Gates has donated all his money. Now, so this part of it is like, you know, where we have to consciously understand of what we are sowing, how we are climbing, where we are going. You see, because, again, church has been told destination heaven. Your ticket is booked, and now you just sit and, you know, eat what you want, drink what you want, and do what you want, and we'll get to heaven someday. And that's what we told people. Like, I wish at some point that the people who I got saved, basically I could go back and tell them, hey, man, there is more than this. Like, I always, there's that, I don't know what you say, remorse in my heart, maybe. But it's just to say, hey, 20 years ago, I didn't know much about this Jesus. Now I do. It's like, hey, I want you to experience the full measure of God. You see, because otherwise we just go, it's like, yeah, yeah. And it's funny that principles like sonship, right? Like when you think of sonship, like a lot of people talk about sonship, but living as a son and walking around like with that authority and knowing the authority takes a long time. Yeah. Takes a long time. I knew the day like God called me, like I must have told the story before, but I heard the voice of God. And it was in the form of my dad's voice. And it basically, I went, knocked at my dad's door and said, hey, did you call me? Did you call me like multiple times? And then I knew that was the voice of God. I heard the voice of my father. And he called me son. And once I knew the identity of myself as a son, it took a lot of while to develop the sonship. And I was laughing because last week, I started over there. I ended up over here. I was on my face here. Then I got up. I did, and then I ended up over there. And I was laughing. I was like, "Yeah, that feels like a son. You have all access, right? You just go because what we have brought up is like kids who don't know what the authority is or what they do, or what they are capable of. You won't know whether you can come and sit next to John, but there's an empty chair over here, right?" From there, you can get up and you can walk and sit next to John. And John may look at you odd first. It's like, what's she doing next to me? But he, at the end, he has to just suck it up and, like, you know, move on. It's like, right? Nobody ever tries to do that. And I always laugh about myself as I sit where, like, next to Brian over there. And I'm like, man, now I do feel like I need to go up, right? I do need, and then that struggle. Oh, you should see my struggle over there. You'll understand that, especially that picture over there does understand me better because I keep walking and pacing towards the picture because I'm like, should I go now? Like, it seems odd. Like, you know, and I just do that. Like, and I know. And so I'm telling you, even though I told you that I had the authority, I could come up here and do whatever I want and go that side and fall down, do whatever. But even in my head, I'm challenged, right? Because I'm like, okay, I'm sensing, no, is this me? Is this God? And we ask ourselves these questions, and there's a general trend of you understand that you're a son, and you just go, it's like, here I am, right? But there's still no landing in that, because as a son, you're going to get corrected. Right. A son whom he loves, he corrects. And you're just going to go getting corrected to getting corrected again. Right. But your authority is developing. Right. You see? They'll come some kind of like, I was reading Chris Valentin got corrected by, what's his name? Danny Silk. And Danny Silk told him, he's like, hey man, you're arrogant, but I have only 15 minutes to have this conversation. Yeah. And he said, I'm leaving on a plane for like 2 weeks and, you know, and he just told him that and Chris tried to reply back. And then Danny said, okay, we're done. And he walked away. But he left him with that thing in his heart that, man, I'm arrogant. And until Chris didn't see that, like the reason why he thought he was arrogant and repented, he never could break through out of that. Yeah. And so sometimes we have to check our hearts. Because right now, like the church has basically developed a thing is like, hey, all of y'all are good. Y'all don't need to change anything. Yeah. Everything is good. You're believing for a victory, right? Your victory is coming. Mm-hmm. Everything is good. But nobody's asking you, what are you sowing?
True, right. Good. Very good.
Nobody's asking you that. Yeah. Nobody's right. Questioning you and saying, hey, is this carnal? Is this flesh?
Right.
Carnal is worse than flesh, sometimes we think, but the result is the same.
Yep. Right.
You see? And so the question in our minds and our hearts and all is that we have to walk this thing and we have to question. You know, and maybe in the past we never had this, or we didn't feel like it was necessary. But I just feel, believe that the Holy Spirit is just going to become very strong. Because the more we give him, what do you say, opening in our hearts, he's going to start talking to us. Because we want power, right? We want to accomplish the things of God. But what use it is if you have never really met who the person of the Holy Spirit is? You see? And I believe that the Holy Spirit, like even when I was preparing for this, gave me a verse. And I was like, a couple of verses, really. And I just sat on it and I was like, God, where are you going with this? But I knew my entry point was once I heard the song, was this verse. Like, if you look at my notes, it's fun. It's like pages and pages and scribbling, you know. But and that's why I just put it all over there, and then I just say, okay, God, from here, you walk me, you take me where I have to go. And it's funny that even I wrote, I will rise in victory. I scribbled onto that, and I was like, okay. And so you come to this point, and it's like, so doing good, do not grow weary. You see, the doing good, the word is called kalon, which means beautiful, worthy, bear good fruit. Okay? The root word of it is kalos, which inspires others to embrace what is lovely. Yes. Are you doing good? Like, hey, how are you doing? Are you doing good? Are you inspiring others to embrace what is beautiful? To embrace Jesus? Just a question. Are you doing? Because we are expecting not to be weary, right? We are expecting some different result. But we are not inspiring somebody else to follow this Jesus who is beautiful, who is worthy, who you're not connected to is the true vine and you won't bear good fruit. Right? So the questions I'm asking you is this. It has to prick your heart. Right? Because I cannot tell you something good about Jesus without questioning the motives behind it, finding the root of it, what is sucking the energy out of your life. You're giving all your energy to those things which basically do not matter. And you're expecting a result of God which will give God all the glory. No, he's saying, go back, find that little fox, find that little root that has basically been sucking all the life out of you. What are you sowing your life into? Growing weary. The word is called enkakomen. E-N-K-K-O-M-E-N. If you want, you have it. It means to be utterly spiritless. Wow. That means you got so weary that even the Holy Spirit doesn't have room in you. You become spiritless. It sucked the life out of you. The life-giving Spirit of God. Think like that. That I've given myself to pursuits of life that have no value in heaven's terms, which basically are not amounting to anything and has been sucking the life out of me, and I'm living on end fuel, and I'm thinking that I'm amazing and I'm full of life and I'm praising God, but really I'm on end. My fuel life, like, and it's funny, there was a picture on Facebook where they showed this guy like kneeling and, you know, his battery life was so high, and then the other guy was just doing stuff and his battery low was so low. You see? And I believe very strongly. It's like even when we were praying for, what's the girl's name, your daughter's name, Ellie, right? We were telling her, it's like, hey, to speak in tongues, right? We said, hey, you speak in tongues, your spirit man is going to grow. Your spirit man is going to become as big, there is no limit. Our body right now, there's a limit to whatever it can grow. I don't want to grow this much more, but I'm just saying. I speak to my wife. But in the spirit, you can grow as big as you want. Your authority level and growing in the spirit is just like you can just go. And still, you ask people how much they speak in tongues. And you get like crickets. And we're expecting the difference. I know it's a very difficult thing, what I'm saying. I know it's very like, you know, but it's not because I'm telling you like, oh, hey, y'all are bad or this or good. No, I'm experiencing this in my life and I'm trying to correct this and change the course of destiny and be able to, like, you know, small moves, maneuver to basically where God wants you to in your destiny, to your full potential and walking in it with the glory of God, because you have to go from glory to glory. Oh, 1 minute, quickly. You know, we say this verse, like glory to glory, and what is? Yeah. So we say it like this, right? Okay, so glory. Okay, so we are all we're thinking is like glory to glory.
Right.
Glory to glory. Like, you know, and if like, okay, we say it's like there's a first little glory. So if there's a different way to draw that, you'll go like this, like glory, glory, and we are going this way, right?
Yeah.
What if, what's the other thing in that verse? Do you remember that? Strength to strength. What if in this valley time you were developing your strength? What if in this valley time you're becoming so strong that you can climb the next mountain and you can be like Caleb and you can take your mountain even doesn't matter what your age? Think of it. Glory to glory. Strength to strength. In your valley times, you're developing strength. In your valley times, you're moving into that kind of force that you're supposed to be. Just think of it. You know, we basically, this is why we're not thinking. Because we just think, oh, when I can sing the most, like, you know, and I can feel the Holy Spirit, that means I'm in glory. And when the next time was like 2 months later, what happened in those 2 months? Were you able to basically, like, find your strength? Understand why you went through those 2 months? People will basically go from the first experience of Jesus to, like, today and not even understand why they went 20 years and, like, say, why do I look like the way I look right now in the Spirit? Why do you look the same way? Why do you look more haggard than the way when you just met Jesus?
Right.
Come on, you have to be honest to yourself and say, hey, there's no change. Like, I'm not even, like, you know, loving Jesus so much. I'm not even changing the way I talk about Jesus. I just say, yeah, Jesus loves you. And even if that, like, somebody has to press it out of me to get it out and to say, like, yeah, let's pray for this person. Think of it. Because our understanding of strength to strength, we just think, like, going to the gym is awesome. We won't miss 1 minute of going to the gym. It's like, we're on schedule, we have to go. Sorry, Alan, but I'll tell you. You know, we have to go. We have to eat clean. We have to eat organic and all this. But in all those pursuits, you've forgotten where Jesus is. Where is this Jesus? Has your definition of Jesus changed? Has your definition of Jesus improved? Have you seen a new light, Jesus in a new light? Have you been able to fall down like the angel and say, holy, holy, holy. Oh my God, this Jesus is awesome. Like, is that encounter happening constantly in your life? Where are you seeking that encounter? On the next movie? Think of it like that. We are trying to find the next cool thing, the next best looking thing. I tell you, it's like I was not even satisfied after the Astros won within 24 hours. 24 hours. When India won the World Cup for 24 hours, it was like I was so excited. And this is world, you know, World Cup, not just the World Series, which is in America. Okay, let me put it as that. Like, you know, this is World Cup, the real world. I always find it funny. It's like, you know, Tom Brady, like, this is for Izzy. I'm putting it on tape. Okay, Tom Brady is like the World Series, won the World Cup, whatever, the World Champ, Super Bowl. Okay, and he's a world champion, Super Bowl world champions and all. But he has never once represented America. Not once will he ever represent America that all these other basketball players are going to do. And still we basically say Tom Brady is greatest of all time in America. Those other basketball players, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson and all, have won world stage. They have really played in world championships. You see the difference? So sometimes we are playing in this little pool and we are like, yeah, world. See, that's what I'm saying. It did not satisfy me. I was excited. Ask Brian. How many, like, we were texting like crazy, screaming. It's like, oh, my God. You know, and it was fun. It was like I enjoyed it, like, every moment of it, you know, because I put all my emotion, everything. It was all in, right? 24 hours later, I was done. That's it. They poured all the champagne and everything and, you know, whatever they had to do. And like, okay. And I was like, even when it came to the parade time, I was like, man, I'm going to see them for 20 seconds go on a whatever fire truck or something. I was like, and I'm going to stand there 5 hours. Think of it, 5 hours. And we had 500,000 people or whatever they're saying their number is show up for those 20 minutes, 20 seconds of seeing people who are celebrating because they won and trying to connect their emotion to that and go back home with just the feeling that they won. Whereas the Bible basically says in the end that you win. In the waiting, you're basically going to win.
Yes.
You know, going to that point B, you're still a winner.
Yeah.
Even if you don't get all the desires of your heart, let me remind you this. It says, as you sow, you shall reap. And if you don't reap in this life, how much more greater it is in heaven.
Yes.
We have developed a people which basically says, I need it in this life. I need it now, God.
Right.
Think of it. You're sowing because you want to see it here. What if you've never seen it? What if all these missionaries who went to Africa never seen anything happen in their life? How much more is their reward in heaven?
Yes.
See, heavenly minded. Thinking in those ways, understanding in those things. Right? Because we are trying.
Right.
We are being Christian. You see, and okay. The last two, whichever I gave you. So I was thinking of this. It's like, you know, in Christianity, there are a lot of good people, right, you know, who follow Jesus and all. And they're like these fanatic people like Mary Magdalene, right? Because much was forgiven for her. And she and a bunch of women were basically hanging out in the dark near the tomb when Jesus died. Then all your hope, all that you put your emotions and everything to believe in God, and this is the Son of God, died. There is no hope. 3 days, on the third day, they're gone to the tomb to basically just say, you know what, maybe just this memory of Jesus, I'm just going to take the dead body. I'm going to take this dead promise. I'm going to go put the ointment on it. I'm going to bandage it. I'm going to, like, you know. And sometimes we walk around wanting our dead promises, and we basically forget is that Jesus is the reason because he rose. Yeah? I will arise in victory. Jesus arose, but we are still walking around with dead promises and with the thought of, like, I can do this, or I will be able to, you see? But we do never have the choice of, like, you know, inviting Jesus in or saying, hey, Jesus, where are you in this? And Mary Magdalene. So there's this Peter and all of them, because they never believed Mary when she came back with the news that the tomb is empty. Okay? She came back and there was, like, they literally didn't believe her. That's what the Bible says. I think it's in Mark that they literally said they just didn't believe her. And then Jesus had to show up, you know, to save the day. And so it was just like one of those things. But in, I think, only one instance of this, Mark 16:9, it says Jesus met Mary. And it's because all the other instances of this story, and it's fun because sometimes we don't learn this or we don't see it the way it is. All the other instances, it just said the tomb was empty. They ran back to tell the disciples, you know, and that was it. Only in the book of Mark, it says that their tomb was empty and they were running away, like, to go back and tell them, and then suddenly Jesus appeared to her. And then the other verse basically says, it's like, I think in Matthew 28, it says Jesus met the group. 28 verse 8 and 9. And it's funny, it's like, who are you hanging out with? Right? Sometimes it's like we have this pursuit like Mary Magdalene and we are saying, I love Jesus. You know, and when I say I love Jesus, it's basically just going to be just me and Jesus. And then it's like you just realize you need more people around you to love Jesus. Because, you know, I told Court this funny thing. Every Best Buy, those sales, Black Friday sales, when I was in Oklahoma, I sat outside. And it was always the coldest day. Suddenly, it could go from 70 degrees like the day before to that day, it was like, you know. And I always wondered like this when I was thinking of this, because we're close to Black Friday and all. I was like, man, if it was not for all my friends, I would have been like toast over there. They would go, one would go for like donuts, one would get coffee from some gas station. And you got to understand this, we were like Indian kids who had just come to America. Okay, we just came in July. And basically this is like November. And in 4 months you're expecting us, like, we want a laptop. Hello, I'm Indian. I need a laptop. I may be the only Indian who doesn't know to code, but it's okay. But imagine we're all standing over there, and all these other people are like, I need a fridge, I need a flat screen TV, and all. They're like, we'll get it for you, don't worry. But we are first in line. We are the first group of people. So they're giving us the tickets, and we are only here for one laptop, which costs $400 or $500. And we are like trying to save money on that. We didn't, you know, have need of anything. And we basically... And in that, I just realized is Mary had a group of women with her who were basically of the same heart, who were basically of the same thing. And it's funny, when I go to conferences, I do see these ladies, like, you know, and they basically have this heart that they are all connected because they just sold out for Jesus. They may seem the most craziest people over there, but like, and you know, it's just one of those things. It's like this evidence is that their heart is for Jesus. They don't mind being crazy. They don't mind looking crazy because they didn't care about their dignity. I believe, like in the olden days, if you were like, you know, a woman of loose character, basically, and you were walking out at like early morning hours and going to the grave, what would people think of you? These women never thought of it. Mary had already basically said, hey, all my old sins are forgiven. I don't care now what people say. But we still care about what people say, even though all our past is forgiven. And it brings you to this thing. It's like she loved Jesus more than everything else. But then she even found people who loved Jesus more than anything else. Who are you hanging out with? Just ask yourself this question. Are they bringing out in you, inspiring you to beauty? Think of it. Bear good fruit. Because you're hanging out with them, are you bearing good fruit? It's just a thought, right? You think of all these things and you just come to that point and you go, it's like, nah, it's okay. They're my friends. You know, like when growing up, everybody went through this. Those are bad friends. These are good friends. Don't hang out with those bad people, right? I got told all the time, all my friends were bad. There was never, I thought, a good friend unless he is like, you know, he got the first rank in the class in studies or something. And then also there was something wrong about it. You're like, you're like, oh, no, they don't, whatever. But think of it like that. It's like in this pursuit of what we're going after in heaven, you're running after heaven's darling, Jesus. Are you really seeking Jesus? Are you seeking Jesus? And I'm repeating the name Jesus. Because in this doing good, in this following and trying to build the kingdom of God, have you lost that intimacy with Jesus? They lost that intimacy, Mary and all, because they were always at his feet or somewhere hanging around, and they knew what the loss they had. Peter and all had a loss, but they were like, it's okay, we'll deal with our confusion, we'll shout and, you know, curse each other over here and go fishing also. There are even two kinds of disciples who are full-fledged following Jesus, the lovers and just disciples. See, where now, in the saved bunch, if you had to demarcate where you are, which box would you put yourself? I'm happy in the company of others who basically do not want to love Jesus. Or I love Jesus so much that I look odd just because Jesus is ready to just invade my life. You see, and we have come to this point where we have never challenged ourselves. And one of the things I remember myself saying last week was, who told you that you cannot feel Jesus? There are people in this room, you have basically believed a lie that you cannot feel Jesus. You mean to say that the King of heaven and earth is just coming to just discreetly sit next to you and be a nobody? If you prayed, right? You say that we prayed and we, like, God from heaven heard us and heeded our prayer and turned his ear to us. Do you think that he's just going to be like, hey, Alan's praying, let me just turn my ear, but let Alan not know? No, he's going to come and present himself to you. He's going to come and say, hey, you called, you said, you know, how can we work this? What do you want to do? See, heaven is always working on your behalf, but it's taking an initiative from you to want to this thing. And one of the cool things that I learned is I love Amplified, okay? I'm a sucker for Amplified because it's like there's certain things which the Amplified Bible, like, you know, highlights. It's like, okay, so we use this 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity. Require of necessity. See? My face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Require of a necessity. We have sicknesses in our body. But we never basically go back to this verse and look at it in that sense and say, it's like, am I requiring God of a necessity? A few months ago, when Diana, all of us, we went to Dallas, it hit me. If I was a drug addict, and Jesus was my drug, what would I look like? My sole obsession was Jesus. Would I basically be like how I'm right now standing in front of you? Or I would be like, hey, you got Jesus. Hey, did you meet Jesus?
Right.
Where's Jesus?
Right.
Think of it. Have you basically, we say we love Jesus. Yeah, I love Jesus. But have you required Jesus as a necessity that he's your drug, that he's like, you know, the air that you breathe? We sing it, but we don't really know what the meaning is. Ask a drug addict that, Jim. What do you think, like, about Jesus? If it was like a drug, like the intensity, the eating on the inside would be like, oh man, I need the next. I need the next. You see. But we're happy because we know we need the next workout. We need the next meal. We need the next movie. We need the next whatever fashion. We need the next. But if your next high is not Jesus, then what are you pursuing?
Yeah.
Vital necessity. Jesus. You've just gone on from doing things and sowing things and sowing things and sowing things. And when it hit me that I was not a drug addict, I had to repent. I had to basically say, Jesus. Every thought of mine, like, you know, now I've kind of trained myself that every time when I'm not busy doing stuff, something, and I'm just sitting, I'm like, Jesus. And that's what eats me. And that's what causes me to move with the emotion and causes me to connect to heaven and understand is like, hey, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. And the Holy Spirit helps me to understand Jesus. Every those moments when I just say, Holy Spirit, I need him. I need that next Jesus. See, who has this Jesus become to you? Practical. Be very practical. I'm not trying to create like, you know, radical anything. But you, in this pursuit, you will become radical. You'll go from being just like, yeah, let me require Jesus on Sunday. Let me just sing him a song. Let me just read my Bible. Have you ever tried to know him? It's funny that it says, I sought, inquired of the Lord and required him of necessity and on the authority of his word, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We walk around with fears without knowing that of a necessity, if we require Jesus and know the authority of his word, that we could walk in and no fear. We would basically step into a realm of basically we don't care. What would you do to my body? What would you do to my life? I just love Jesus. Yeah, to me, living is what? Life and dying is Jesus. Think, we have to be like that. This, like, all? Hey, today we have a choice, right? And I'm making it a very high bar. I'm setting it a high bar. Because you could be a disciple or you could be a lover of Jesus. The pursuit is basically in that. That whether you are known or unknown, like, you know, one thing why I started on the prophecy thing was because of this. Because when we prophesy, we want people to come back and say, hey, you prophesied to me. And because you prophesied to me, I got this. And the glory goes to whom?
Right.
Oh, you prayed for me and I got healed. And the glory goes to whom?
Right.
What if basically God tells you, it's like, walk and let your shadow fall on people and let them get healed and you just walk away?
Yeah.
Just do the stuff. Because Jesus is like that. Jesus didn't care. He just came into the cities. He healed people and then he went on to the next city.
Right.
But here we are, we basically say, oh, I prayed for this person and the person got healed. And we have testimonies and we have Facebook posts and we have this thing. Who cares? People like Daniel Kalinda and all are saving like millions of people, and they're not saying, oh, as of today, we have 17 million on their Facebook post every day. They're not talking like that. They're just pursuing Jesus. And when they're pursuing Jesus, it's like all the people are getting saved, all the people are getting healed. The scorecards are there if anyone wants it. But nobody's really focused on that. Because their job is, do I have enough of Jesus? Am I loving Jesus? Am I really going like, you know? So I walk into Mexico, right? I walk into Mexico and I say, hey, John, like, how's Jesus in Mexico? And everyone goes, Jesus is good. Todo bien, like, you know? But really, hey, what's the heartbeat of Jesus for Mexico right now? See, our pursuit has to be that we, when we look at people, we connect to the heart of God. When we see places, we connect to the heart of God. Because if we have basically not made the heartbeat of heaven, Jesus, the beauty of heaven, Jesus, in our hearts, we have not connected to that. We basically have what they call that, arrhythmia. We're offbeat. There are things in our hearts that we have to basically burn. We have to go back in and burn to come back in sync with Jesus. And I'm telling you this because I just feel that for what we are getting into, right, we're going to see a lot of healings. Let me tell you that. It's like we're just going to see a lot of healing. We're just not going to know who's going to even heal them. Right. It's just Jesus. Right. Like somebody asked me yesterday at Coates concert, what are you going to preach about? Jesus. And she just looked at me funny. She goes, like, okay, I'm the front of house coordinator for something. And I was like, I don't even know what you're saying. I'm sorry. It's like, you know, that's what you're doing for the church. But that's not what who we are talking about. It's Jesus. Do you know this Jesus? You see, and sometimes we have to let this slip into our hearts again, that come back to that first love, that at every peak and valley, Jesus is walking with us. But we've never just gone out and reached out to him and held his hand and said, hey, Jesus, I need you. And that's what I'm trying to bring us to. I'm trying to say is like, because there will come people who will never see their faces again, will come walk through, will do great miracles and have great exploits and just walk away. What if they were just like, you know, people who are translated? What if you went into Africa and you basically prayed for people and I was still here. I didn't have to buy a plane ticket or anything. And there's suddenly a whole village who was basically having some kind of virus or whatever, infection or something, and they all got healed. You're able to do that. But just hold on to Jesus' hand. But in this, do you get what I'm saying? Like everything about what you're doing has to have Jesus. Otherwise, like, it will show on your face. Like, you look at this. This is what I'll tell you. Psalm 105:3. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek and require the Lord as their indispensable necessity. The hearts of those who rejoice. There's a joy. There's a general joy, you know, when people are with Jesus. It doesn't matter what stuff you have. It doesn't matter, like, you know, where you are and all. There's just a joy. It's just like you meet people and you go like, what are they on? Like, what, literally, you know? It's like, man, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning and they just come here. And they're like, ah! But man, they love Jesus. There's that exuberance of Jesus which is just there. Now, how they channel it, how they focus it, how they move it, how God moves in them and takes them to whatever, who knows? But I hold on to what is good. Hey. They have something that I need. Hey, do you have Jesus? Yeah. Do you have Jesus? Yeah. It's like, hey, where are we going to meet for the next Jesus? Think of it like that. You see, we basically gone on, and the verse that I had, okay, I'll go back. Isaiah 51, 1-3. It says, wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. So in this waiting, why this is the verse that God gave me, and I'm ending with it, is, wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. In this waiting time, he is in the waiting. Yes, yes, Jesus, he's in the waiting. Yes. But you're faced over there because you want what else is over there. He's in the waiting. Hey, I'm here in the waiting room. It's like, do we want to go and deliver this baby? Or, nah, I'll just stay outside the hospital. I'm just happy over there. My promise may show up. You know, there's a drive-through and all this. There's an ambulance come. Maybe my promise is in that broken dreams. You just think of it like that. And it says is that, come to the waters. That river, which was flowing through those mountains in the valley, is there. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, you know the word money? The original word is called kasap, means long for. What are you longing for? Money? Nah, it's any longing that you have in your heart. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine, milk, without money and without price. And then verse 2. Why do you spend your longing? I replace that word money with longing for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that what does not satisfy. What are you spending your longing for? Think of it. Is Jesus your longing? Or you've basically just gone on and just said, eh, it's better. I'll long for this, that, things, which you're basically going to give away to people. You know, and what are you carrying on that inside? And then it says again, hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. When you eat of what is good, there'll be joy in you. And then you come back to the simplest verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In this weariness, in this all, because you have not eaten what is good, you don't have the strength. Think of it. Because the strength will cause you to climb up the mountain, get to the place of Zion, the praise, the joy, singing even songs about where you're going to go, prophesying over yourself with spiritual song and saying those things as though, you know, they are. And saying, hey, one day I'm going to go get that mountain. One day I'm going to raise the dead. One day I'm going to go and like change the nations. You see? And that's what you have in you. Every one of you in this place. But the choice again is like, are you going to hold Jesus' hand? Hey, Jesus, you're my vital necessity. This air I breathe is coming from you, Jesus. Can I connect to you, Jesus? Think like that. You see? And cause yourself to then every moment of the day. Basically, this is how you're going to walk yourself out of every kind of weariness and even into this waiting period. Is like, hey, Jesus, I'm enjoying this moment with you. Why do I have to be at another place? Most people want the other place. It's like, you know, hey, Jesus, you're my bridegroom. I'm enjoying this moment here. It's like, yeah, I'll have my husband, I'll have my bride. But hey, right now, what does this vital necessity seem like? You see? And this is what we have to be at. Yeah. I know, I said a lot. But hey, you got to understand this. It's like when I process this, I'm internally processing a lot of stuff. You see, and I am ready to share these things with you because it's like, hey, think about it. Chew on it. And if you think it's horrible and it's just like not for you, you can spit it out. But at least taste Jesus. Put it in your mouth. Say, like Ethiopian food, right? Like some people didn't like Ethiopian food. I think Ethiopian food is awesome. But like, you know, hey, try at least you tried it. You know? And so that's what the word is basically like that. Because it says the word. Your victory is with the word. You see, and in this waiting, I believe that you will not grow weary because the word, Jesus, you're going to connect with that. You're going to make that word flesh in you for the manifestation of what God wants, not what you dream and think of. Because he will infuse your thinking and imagination and he will show you then the differences. Because what we have done is we have taken prophetic words, we have taken things like that, and we have spun it the way our mind thinks. But there's a better way. There's a better heavenly mindedness which says, hey, maybe it looks like this. What if it looks like that? Because we prophesy in part, we see in part, we prophesy in part. But heaven knows reality. And when we connect to the love of heaven, Jesus, We step into that reality, and then our eyes will be able to see what we really called for, what we're really dreaming, what the desires of our heart are, and how does it connect to God. It's just that simple. Does it make sense? Okay. So let's just pray.